Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo. How you feeling?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, I'm all right, man. I ain't stressing.
I ain't stressing over that bullshit.
Yeah.
Fuck Tim's. I'm good.
Recording in progress.
Right. Check, 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 check. Check one, check two, check one, check two, check one. All right. Levels is good. Let's see. Check one, check two, check one, check two. Yo, where's my fucking hard drive at? Okay, here we go. Check, check, check. Check. All right, solo's good. Regular. Check one, check two, check one. Just give me some levels real quick.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Check, 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 check. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
All right. You ready to go?
Sorry.
All right. Let's get this thing started. Probably gonna go with book tonight. Let's see.
Yeah, do you hear that?
Hear what?
Do you hear anything other than me talking?
I hear the music. You don't hear the music?
But you don't hear Russo?
Russo? No.
Okay.
Who's Russo?
Okay. Mad Dog.
Oh, no. He's not okay, on. He's on now, or are you playing like a clip?
Nah. There was a clip that was going on.
Oh, gotcha.
But sometimes, like, I'll have, like, the ESPN box score, but, like, on the side,
yes,
the ad pops
yeah,
up
yeah,
and
yeah.
It start playing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get myself caught up because I think maybe that sound is going over to the live.
Yeah, no.
And I always forget to ask you, do you hear any other sound coming from my computer other than myself?
Yeah. I couldn't hear it, so all good. All right, let's get this thing started now. Get this out of there. I don't know how I get that out of there. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. What does this tell us more? Okay, can close this. Can close this. Can get this out. Pop this out. All right, check one, check two, check one, check two. Here we go. Friday night Knicks. Knicks postgame live presented by Prize Picks. Knicks going for four in a row. The Road Warriors going for four in a row against Ja Morant and the red hot Memphis Grizzlies, man. Second best overall record. Shorthanded Knicks team going in there. And they hung tough, man. Give them credit. Julius is playing like a man possessed. Knicks were going there with a 15-point lead at one point in the second half, man. Just playing very well. But in the fourth quarter, man, this team just ran out of steam a little bit. And Memphis was able to turn the tides on them. Knicks scored 40 points in the third, only 18 in the fourth. Untimely turnovers, and, you know, Memphis had Ja Morant. And that's all she wrote, man. 118, 114. Valiant effort by this Knicks team, but it was all for naught as they would ultimately just run out of gas in the fourth quarter. Knicks postgame live presented by Prize Picks. CP the franchise in the building. JD Sports Talk on the other side. So to everybody in the chat once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. We are on the climb to 50K. Well, you know, there's no moral victories, right? We don't really do moral victories on this show, but I'm not that mad at this one. You know, we're undermanned. No Cam. Cam went home, shut down with the shoulder injury. Severely undermanned. No Obi again in this game. And again, you know, I thought fight a slow start in the beginning. This team fought. You know, this team fought and had a monster third quarter. Give Julius credit. Playing like a man possessed. Since, you know, certain fiasco happened earlier this week. So he's certainly playing motivated. 36 points, 12 boards, 6 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks for Julius. And I thought, you know, the difference, again, I think he carried over the aggressiveness from that Dallas game and playing inside out. You know, really attacking Jaren Jackson, attacking Brandon Clark, and just being really much pretty much a force in the paint. But in the fourth quarter, they really rendered him useless out there. Didn't score. I don't think he scored at all, or maybe in garbage time, you know. So I thought that was a big turning point. Give Loch Ness Monster a lot of credit. I thought Mitch had another monster game, which was a big reason why we took that big lead in the third. 10 points, 16 boards, 4 dimes, 3 steals, 4 blocks for Mitch. Another solid outing for him. Give that man his money. I thought he was very impactful for us tonight. So slow game for RJ. Not the best shooting night. 9-25 from the field, 23 points. But, you know, still had his moments in that second half. Like I said, man, I think we just ran out of gas. I think a big turning point in that game was with about 9 minutes left in the fourth. You know, Mitch had picked up his 5th foul. Taj comes in. He picks up his 6th foul right away. It was that Grandpa Simpson meme that we always see on Twitter. And then he just had cascading turnovers, man. Knicks had 6 turnovers in the fourth. And that plays right into the Grizzlies' hands. You know, they're one of the top teams in the league in turning it over. They're the number one fast break team in the league. And between the untimely turnovers, Memphis was able to convert on the other end. And then, you know, they pretty much seized all the momentum. Ja started going crazy. And that was all she wrote, man. JD, what were your takeaways on this one?
Tough loss because, you know, for a moment there, you know, I was even the broadcasters were shocked. You know, the Knicks looked like a team that was not at the end of a road trip.
Facts.
They looked like a team that, you know, caught the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, by surprise a little bit. You know, yeah. I thought up until the fourth quarter, the Knicks were the more physical team.
For sure.
They were the more aggressive team, and they played well. And, you know, I thought for the most part, that was one of the biggest takeaways for me in terms of the way they defended Ja. I know Ja had a 30-point game, but took 33 shots to get there. And he was frustrated for most of the game.
Mm-hmm.
No, he picked it up there late. But I actually like the way the Knicks played Ja Morant. I for the most part, I like the way things played out for them, but they ran out of gas. You know, the Knicks were up 96-81 with a minute remaining in the third.
Yeah.
And then from that moment, the game ended in a 37, you know, to 18 run. And the Knicks now, you know, now they have 4 losses. You know, you talk about the playing CP, you talk about how every game is important. Now the Knicks have 4 losses when leading by at least 9 points entering the fourth quarter this season. That's the most in the NBA.
Mm.
So that's 4 games right there. You're leading into the fourth. Only the Knicks have the most blown, you know, leads going into the fourth in terms of not finishing the game with the win. So, you know, those are the small things that change your season as you're heading down to the final stretch. You know, it was tough. It was tough, but I'm not too upset about it. You know,
they played well.
And I mean, of course we can always, you know, nitpick at certain, you know, substitutions. We can nitpick at efficiency. You know, Julius Randle, 11 of 27. You can look at RJ, 9 of 25, 1 of 6 from 3.
Yeah.
I thought RJ could have done, and I hope that they use that film when he was telegraphing his play and Jaren Jackson knew what he was
mm-hmm.
going to do.
He's waiting for it. Well timed.
He was waiting for it. You know, it's like in the NFL, you have a safety that's roaming, you know, smart quarterback, you know, you do a play action play, you get the safety to bite, you go, you get the explosive play. And that's what happened against RJ. You know, Jaren Jackson was roaming, knowing what he was going to do. There was one play where RJ tried to catch him sleeping, passed it to Randle, but that turned into a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked him, you know, you talk about players like LeBron, Luka, those type of players, when they see that, they actually like that. Okay, you're going to cheat? All right, here we go. They bait you, and they get, you know, mm-hmm. another player involved. And that's the playmaking that's going to develop for RJ. As much as he learns from these, you know, small pointers in the game, because that's what's going to get him better. You know, he's not as athletic as Ja. You saw Ja tonight, 33 shots, but you still see the difference in terms of your athletic ability is able to cause so much havoc on a game. And you know, the Memphis Grizzlies pulled it out late, and the Knicks just have to regroup and you know, come back to the Garden and start another streak.
16 block shots for the Grizzlies, man. Number one in the league in block shots, 16 tonight. They're a very interesting team because they're one of the best offenses in the league and one of the worst half-court offenses in the league. But the way that they get you, again, obviously Ja. You know, Ja is Ja. But in transition, number one fast break points. Probably the best transition team in the game. And because they force you, they turn you over so much, then they get out and run. And that was the case, especially in that fourth quarter. But it was also the case in the third, to me, why we were able to open things up. Because we limited our turnovers. We took a lot of good shots, which kept them from, you know, getting long rebounds and getting out and running. And then at the same time, we had them forced into more half-court sets, and they were kind of out of sync. So that was good as well. Another thing where I thought, you know, we did a good job, in particular in the third quarter, was limiting them on the offensive glass, which is where they kill you. Steven Adams at the top of the league in terms of offensive rebounding, him and Mitch neck and neck. They would end up losing Adams later on in the quarter, but I thought that was a big factor in why we took the lead in the third and why everything fell apart in the fourth, because things really just changed. So, you know, that Memphis offense is very interesting. I'm going to be interested to see. They are second in the West, second best overall record in the league. Going to be interesting to see, is that a winnable playoff style offense that they run, given that they're like 25th in the league in the half court. So definitely going to be interesting to see how they fare as they move into the postseason. But, like I said, man, I just think, you know, they came out and took that game in the fourth. 31-18, Knicks get outscored in the fourth quarter. Couldn't really facilitate much and get good looks for ourselves, you know, between RJ, Julius. Just couldn't get it going. 18 points, 6 boards, 5 dimes from my guy Alec Burks. An efficient night, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from downtown.
35 minutes.
35 minutes. I'm okay with that.
I know you are.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
I know you love it.
We're going for 4 in a row, man. You know, this isn't, we're going to play the kids a little. We're trying to go for 4 in a row. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it's going to go down.
We're looking at Jericho Sims was the statement, and there he goes with 6 minutes.
I mean, look, you know, my guy Sean, he texts me also. He's like, what's Taj doing in the game? I mean, look, you got the Grizzlies going small. You got Clark running and gunning all over the court, dunking on everybody. I didn't see how Sims was really going to impact this game. I don't think he did. He came back in the fourth. He traveled, picked up an offensive foul. He looked like a rookie out there. He had his rookie mistakes trying to win the game. They put Mitch back in the game. And by that time, it was already over. Things was already getting out of control. You know, I don't see how Sims was helping here. The way the Grizzlies match up, yes, Taj wasn't going to be much. In fact, we had no backup bigs. You had no Obi. Cam went home. You really had nothing, man. I think we were really in a bind in terms of our front court depth tonight. And Sims looked, you know, very much like a rookie. It was a tough matchup for him out there.
I don't know, man. I agree, but I just think sometimes it's tough making these evaluations where somebody plays 4, 5, 6 minutes, and you know we make this all out evaluation of how they look. How many times do we see it? You know, you could have a 4 or 5 minute stretch and you look like a rookie, and then you get another 4 or 5 minute stretch, and then you don't look so much like a rookie. So that's what I mean in terms of just getting some consistent minutes, because we see it in Taj. You know, Taj played 15 minutes, 6 fouls.
Yeah.
You know, he gets the opportunity to get the 6 fouls in 15 minutes, whereas Sims would not. So that's just my – listen, I get he did not play well, but my whole thing is it's the wishy-washy, the way things just change depending on the circumstances. And I knew this could happen. You know, the Knicks start being competitive, and then, you know, there goes, you know, RJ Randle, everybody playing 40-something, 30 minutes. I just, I don't know. I just would have liked you know, some of these players to just get a little bit of a longer rope there in the third. It just seemed like, for example, right, in the third, 10-minute and 32-second mark, Burks comes in for RJ. Now you have no RJ and no Randall on the floor. I didn't think that was a smart move at the moment. I'm like, you want to at least have one of them two on the floor. Then next possession, Jaren Jackson hits a three. Mitch gets a turnover. It's 99-92. What does Tibbs do? Boom, right back to Randall. He says, y'all not going to question me tonight. Yeah. He goes right back to Randall. But I like that he made that adjustment, but it's the second guessing that sometimes I just have myself. I just have an issue with is I just, you know, I don't know.
I had no issue. People thinking Sims is like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, bro, they were spacing the floor with these guys. Memphis is, they're small. They play small. They play athletic. This wasn't Sims's night. Brooklyn game, he'll have a better shot. He's going up against Andre Drummond. You got Nick Claxton out there. Brooklyn game, we'll see some more. I think we'll see some more of Sims. Tonight, I don't think the matchup was in his favor, and it looked like that, even in his limited minutes. That's just my thought. Look, we didn't have much options out there tonight, and we played the second-best team in the league, took them down to 9 minutes in the fourth before the whole thing fell apart. I don't know. I'm not that mad at it. Short-handed, no guns off the bench.
I thought Fournier played okay.
Yeah, I thought Fournier was all right. They ended up closing with Quickly in his spot, I guess you could say. You know, and conversely, I think Memphis have who did they finish with? Was Trey Jones? Did Trey Jones finish the fourth for them? Felt like Jaren Jackson.
Tyus Jones, did Bane finish? I know Jaren Jackson finished.
Yeah.
Maybe Brandon Clark.
Right, and Clark.
Yeah.
And Clark. So
those were your five.
I mean, did you want to see Fournier out there, you know, with the speed and athleticism?
No.
I thought he was overmatched. I thought he was overmatched on the defensive end as well. So I didn't, again,
he only made three threes. And yeah. I thought those three threes were actually timely threes because, you know, at the end of the first quarter, it was 27-34. He hits a three that gets to the 30-34. A big difference going into the second quarter against a young team. And as you start the second quarter, you know, Mitch gets a dunk 32-34, and then that happens. In the third quarter, it was 78-74. He hits a three and increased the lead to 81-74. And then to end it, it was 86-81. There's a steal. He hits a three. Now you get it 89-81. RJ layup now is 91-81, 10-point lead, timeout, Memphis. Those were his three offensive plays. I thought they were timely in, you know, at the point that he made those buckets. Other than that, not much else that you get from him defensively. So I was okay with him not playing much in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I thought, just like I said, I think matchups-wise, I was okay with Quickly, you know. Again, it's kind of like,
I'm going to tell you one thing, though, guys. CP, Mitch,
hey,
four blocks, three steals, four assists in the first quarter?
Block net stealing, giving goes out here, man. Let that man cook. He's getting there, Brad. He's getting there.
16 rebounds, 8 offensive.
Well, great.
Like, and remember, you know, I told you, like, that Jai thing, you know, when you look at players like that, that's why a player like Mitch is valuable, because when you're playing these downhill guards,
right,
you know, a guy like Mitch, it can be very effective in you know, in terms of rim protection. So,
yeah,
you know.
And he was big.
Mitch,
he was big.
Yeah. He continues to make a case for that Robert Williams contract.
What the time we're getting? He got, what, 484? No.
Or
was it 474?
No,
definitely,
I think
it wasn't
like 58. 4 for 58.
Okay.
Something like that.
So
454.
4 years,
54 million.
454. Okay. Which is around what Mitch is going to get, right?
Yeah.
Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype had said he interviewed a couple executives who feel like Mitch's range is between 12 and 14. To me, I give him that.
That's 13 and a half per year.
I don't have an issue with that. I don't have any. You trade Noel. By the offseason, that's an expiring contract. You trade that. And I don't have an issue with that at all. I'd like to see Mitch here developing.
You have to find a way to trade Noel.
Got to. Imperative. Absolutely.
Paramount. It's vital.
No question. Got the wrong highlights up here. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks post-game live presented by Prize Picks, CP and JD on the ones and twos. Let's see what the people got to say, man. What do you guys think about this game? Let's go to, Matavani from Queens. I think I got that right tonight.
Yes, you finally got it right, man.
Let's go. Thank you, man. Let's go.
All right. So, you know, I really enjoyed the game from Randall today. You know, the Randall's home cooking was still hot in the Tupperware from his mom. He was still in the bag, getting in the paint, making things tough, and getting Jackson out of the game early, and giving us a chance to really just empower the team and increase our lead in the third quarter. Unfortunately, this is another chapter in the storybook of the Knicks titled "Knicks Need a Point Guard." You know. Honestly, man, this guy, there was the point guard for the Grizzlies. I can't remember his name.
Ja Morant.
But this guy, Ja is a star, man. He's a star. He took over that game, so many plays. And just looking at us on our end, we just need a point guard, man. We wasn't making plays. We wasn't moving the ball enough. And honestly, for me, I really feel like Sims should have played more than 6 minutes, honestly. This was a physical game. I understand, you know, they had some shooters as bigs, but this was a physical game, man. He should have played a lot more, honestly, in my opinion. But, you know, the tank continues, and hopefully we get a point guard sooner than later, man, because these games are getting tough to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. They fought, but, again, down the stretch, yeah, part of the turnovers is, you know, not having someone who's a good caretaker of the ball. And, you know, between RJ and Randall, sometimes that gets a little tough, gets a little dicey, man, especially when the opposing defense puts some pressure on you. And that's what we saw there. So,
like how you said, there's this point guard on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, right.
Dave's driving around.
Yeah.
Big time point guard.
My man's a Knicks fan true and true. He's like, forget all the other Daves, man. I'm with all guys. I want Sims in the game.
This is my first time seeing that. You know that? Man, this is guy on that team, man.
Shout out Kevin Joseph, $10 Super Chat. He says, Tibbs hasn't done an experiment all season, but now of all games, he decides to experiment when Julius coming in with the young dude instead of RJ. Why? No, I don't necessarily see it like that. I think the fourth quarter you had IQ, McBride, RJ, you had Mitch, and I don't remember the fourth, or maybe Burks. I think he did mix it up. You know, we didn't have much options, man, so he had to. Dwayne Freddie Hubbard says, wish RJ would have been the playmaker down the stretch. Okay. Chuck D, the rhyme animal, Chuck D, so to Chuck D, man. Chuck brought out the clipboard today. The breakdown, my guy Deuce McBride, man. Shout out to the rhyme animal, Chuck D. The fans are loving it. Make sure you guys check that out. He says, somebody give Noel's money to Mitch, too. Steal it like lunch money while he's not looking. Or should I say not playing. This loss kicked me in the ribs. Yeah, it was a tough loss, man. This tonight's show would have been through the roof. Everyone.
Oh, man.
I think Icewater would have came back. He would have been like, yo, man, I was busy, but I'm back. Eastern Conference Finals. We're back in this thing. This night would have been nuts, man. But,
and then now it's like, oh, let's go back to the mock drafts.
Yeah, because they're coming back home. And
and the way the Nets, I don't know if anybody saw the way the Nets looked against the Sixers.
Oof. Yeah, I think will Ben Simmons be ready to play Sunday? Will he be ready? How will he be feeling? Nah, Kyrie's not playing.
Yeah, he can't play, right?
Kyrie can't play. That game's in Brooklyn anyway.
Right.
So he can't play. We'll see if Ben Simmons has everything together, has it all together.
Wait, if the game would have been in MSG,
still,
it's in Brooklyn.
Still couldn't play.
Oh, because I'm like, it's a road game.
Yeah,
like,
still couldn't
but
play.
It's New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Still couldn't play. So, very interesting things there. You know, but whatever. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks lose a tough one, man. 118 and 114. Let's get to the phone. Zay, I see you on the Discord. Hang tight, Zay. Let's go to Haitian Ferg. Haitian Ferg, what's going on?
Listen, guys, the Knicks played their heart out tonight.
Yeah.
I thought Tibbs had a legit plan. I think Talon won the game tonight.
Yeah.
But when you look at the schedule that we got left and the teams we got left to play, if the Knicks play like this for the rest of the season, we can't just count them out now. So, you know, what I see here with the way he staggered minutes tonight with RJ and Julius, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had Deuce and Quickly in for a couple of minutes. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
What I could say is, look, it may not mean that we make the playoffs or even the play-in, but at the same time, given that you have Walt Perrin, you got, you know, somebody in there that can control the draft, yo, win as many games as you can, man. Let these guys play their hearts out every night. Let's see where the chips fall, because I'm not with this whole tanking thing. I'm really not with that. And from what I saw tonight, playing the second-best team in the NBA, you know what? These dudes not giving up. As fans, we can't give up neither. So you know what? Let these dudes ball out. The season's going to end the way it ends. One thing is, you're getting rid of Kemba. You're getting rid of Fournier. Let Grimes and McBride ball. That's all I got to say. Let's go Knicks.
Okay. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. I can see Kemba being out of there. I don't see him getting rid of Fournier. But we'll see. See what happens.
Atlanta won tonight.
Okay. So that puts us where?
The Hornets. And Charlotte won tonight, 142 to 120 regulation.
Wow, 140.
So that now puts the next five games out in the loss column. I always play the loss column. People go, oh, they're 4.5 because they look at – I'm looking at the loss column because everyone's going to play 82 games. So to me, you know, the Knicks have 39 losses. The Hawks have, on the 10th seed, have 34 losses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're four back in the loss column of the 9th seed Hornets.
Okay.
So, you know, every game, and this is what happens, right? You go on a little streak, you feel close, but then you lose one game, and then everyone else wins. And one night, everyone gains, you lose ground.
Yeah.
And then you look at your schedule, and, you know, it's going to be a tough task.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough task. That's why I said last show that if they are going to make it, they're going to earn it because, you know, that schedule, they still have to play the Hornets twice. They still have to play the Hawks. They're going to play Brooklyn and play a lot of teams that definitely want to win some games to get a better seed.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole strength of schedule thing, it fluctuates so much. I mean, for the last couple of weeks, they were like top two in terms of hardest schedule. Now they're 22nd in terms of with 15 games left. Their strength of schedule of all their components combined is 486. So Knicks now will head to Brooklyn. Then they have home versus the Blazers, home versus the Wizards, home versus the Jazz, home versus the Hawks. Then at Charlotte, at Miami, at Detroit, home versus Bulls, home versus Charlotte, home versus Cleveland, at Orlando. We owe Orlando. We got to watch them. Then home versus Brooklyn, at Wizards, and then home versus Toronto. 15 games left. 15 games left. Not crazy. I mean, it's not crazy. You know, obviously the Brooklyn games are what they are in terms of, like, really, really tough opponent. You know, Utah will be a tough one. Miami, of course. Everything else I see is winnable. I always feel like we play the Bulls tough. We play them tough all year.
Right. And, hey, look, you know, like the caller said, you want to look at it from that perspective, number two seed in the West, and you were up double digits.
Yeah.
Through three quarters, you were the better team tonight.
Yep.
And when you look at that and you put together the three-game win streak, I have a mental four-game win streak because Cam should have stayed in that game.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you look at all that, I think this game now at home, because now let's transfer that at home. Let's see how that transfers to the Garden against a Brooklyn team where Durant is going to be the feature player all night without Simmons and Kyrie. You know, you can look at things and say, you know, some of those teams you mentioned, the Knicks play like they've been playing this hard, this impressive on defense. They're going to give themselves a chance to win a lot of those games.
Yeah.
Can they do it at home? That's why it's going to be important now to see if they can do it at home.
Yeah. And look,
how about this? Mm. Is this next game a must win? Is this a must win?
Do I see them winning it? Is it a must win? And you said we're how much behind the Hawks? Five in the lost count? Four?
Five of the Hawks and four of the Hornets.
I would say no, only because we own that tiebreaker against the Hawks. And we got a lot of games to play, including two against the Hornets where you hope you tie. So it's not, like I said, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Now, Hawks, when we talk about strength of schedule, and again, it does fluctuate, they are – they have the second easiest schedule in the league going forward for the 15 games, according to the winning percentage of their opponents. Doesn't mean that they're going to win these games. Obviously, you still got to play the games. But Knicks are in 22nd, Hawks are 29th. But Knicks do own the tiebreaker, and they can tie with the Hornets, and then you can see what happens from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be very interesting, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks lose a tough one. They fought hard. Lose a tough one, man. 118-114 in Memphis. Knicks were going for four straight wins on the road, which I thought was pretty impressive in itself. And you know, they certainly showed up despite tough shooting nights from RJ, from Julius, and when Memphis really started that game having a field day in the paint. I was worried at that point. I was like, damn, like, they're scoring with ease in the paint. But at the same time, we were still, you know, maintaining. We'd be neck and neck with them straight through. And then third quarter, we blew it right open. Fourth quarter, they blew it right open. So tough loss, man. Tough loss. Let's go to the Discord. Zay. Zay, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, CP, JD? How y'all doing today?
How you feeling, man?
Good, man. I got a few points real quick.
Yep.
For the game tonight, I feel like there are a few things that I noticed off of RIP that I definitely want to shout out. One, there were two plays back-to-back in the first quarter. One was Julius was posting up, and RJ was wide open in the corner, waving his hands, and Julius decided to go up for it himself. Then, right back now, they're on a transition and RJ, Julius was wide open trying to get an alley, and RJ said, nah, I'm just going to go right up with it.
Yeah.
And right after that, I was shout out kids for, okay, all right, I need to pull one of them. And right after that, he ended up pulling Julius. I think Tibbs realized tonight is the night where we need to stagger their minutes because playing together, they kind of bump heads a little bit. And I think RJ is getting into his head now to know, like, yo, I'm not going to just give up to Julius and let Julius do what he does. Like, I'm a star here, too. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit. And it may get to a point where it's counterproductive for the team. So I think that's one thing they definitely got to pay attention to. Like, they're great. They're both great players.
Yeah.
But together on the team, on the floor at the same time, it's just like not enough basketball.
And the thing is like, and again, I don't know – you know, when they're going into these things, you know, is the coach running play specifically for one over the other, or is it kind of, you know, read-react situation where if the guy has a ball, he's going to try to make a play. But it just seems like in the last few games, you know, Julius is really starting to, you know, snatch the reins a little bit. And RJ is now kind of taking that secondary role. And I thought today he was very much out of sync. Now, he wasn't hitting his shots, even the wide-open ones. He just didn't seem like he had it together. He was still patient, but just didn't have it overall in his bag. But it just seems like, you know, Julius is kind of taking over the offense again. So going to be very interesting to see how things transpire. But as you said, I agree. They should definitely continue to stagger their minutes so that RJ gets those features and also helps the second unit with scoring, because it's going to be – he's going to be desperately needed. You know, one of those guys has to be out there to help that second unit put the ball in the hole and do that consistently.
Yeah, that second unit tonight, like our second unit pretty much was Taj, Deuce, Sims, and I don't even know.
IQ was the only one that scored. Meaningful points. IQ had 11 points. So, you know, no Cam, no Obi. Grimes is still out. Now I'm hearing that Grimes' is rehab is going well, that he is ahead of schedule, but there's no timetable. I haven't heard a timetable yet, but I'm hearing that his rehab is going well. So let's see, you know, what his prognosis looks like in the coming days.
I got one other point real quick.
Yeah.
The future. I think we got to not just overreact to us not having the best season this year. Mm-hmm. Because I really think that we're a playmaking point guard away. A playmaking point guard to kind of just control this team, get it in order. And honestly, we need Julius to kind of lower his ego a little bit to allow someone else needs to have control of the ball in those late game situations.
Yes.
I think a good playmaking point guard would definitely settle this team a little bit. And then, of course, just the easy little small cleanup. A lot of teams now are recognizing that Mitch is important, so they're trying to go at Mitch and trying to get him out the game early as possible. We saw that with the Kings game, and we kind of saw that tonight. So, you know, keep Mitch, but we need to definitely find a backup big. If you know, hopefully Sims develops in the offseason. If not, we need somebody that's still either a real rim protector, or we need to find someone to plug in place at the four that's a rim protector. But we can't have it to where if Mitch sits down, there's no rim protection, because Julius ain't doing it. So we definitely need something there. But I think we're not that far away. It's little pieces that need to be adjusted. And, you know, we've only been blown out probably a few games. A lot of the games we've been in it or we've had the lead and just kind of let go of the rope.
Crunch time, man.
Correct. And that's why I think it's really just a playmaking point guard that can kind of bring it together. Yeah, Julius respects D-Rose. If D-Rose was here, a lot of those games will swing the other way, but we can't depend on D-Rose.
No.
We need a point guard similar to D-Rose or someone come up that can really just control this team a lot better, because, you know, RJ and Julius kind of butts heads. We need somebody that could be that in the middle to say, hey, like, let me control it. I'm going to get it to the best person in these situations.
Okay.
That's my point. I definitely appreciate y'all.
Good points, man. JD, what are your thoughts on Zay's call there?
Good call, man. You know, he mentioned the whole idea with the backup center, the Knicks, and this is why, you know, I know that the Knicks said that they want to look at Sims. I want it to be consistent, because, you know, this is not only a decision of trying to identify if Sims could be your backup center. It's also information to evaluate if this is the way you want to play at that position moving forward. In other words, do you want to develop Sims into a starting center because if negotiations go left? Do you want to re-sign Mitch and then have Sims be a backup, which means now you have two similar players at the same position? That stretch five thing goes out the window. Or is Sims not going to cut it out, you know, and you have to look elsewhere and make a move in the offseason or draft someone. So a lot of factors happen, you know, in that dynamic, and that's why I'm hoping that Sims gets a fair shot here to end the season. And then when he did say that he thinks we're not far enough, I mean, I don't know, I guess, but it's tough, CP, because we don't have the one thing that we're hungry for, and that's that surefire, no
surefire,
doubt about it,
surefire
franchise superstar.
Yeah,
and that's the journey. You know, that's why, you know, there's this divide between winning or tanking.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because where everyone's hungry for Jaden Ivey or Chet Holmgren or, you know, whoever. Like, we're just, and we don't even know if they're going to be those type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a fan base, we're hungry to get that next electrifying dynamic player. So I think until we get that player, you know, everything is going to be about increments, you know, incremental growth here and there, trying to play a certain style, trying to make improvements. Jalen Brunson, RJ's development, maybe give Cam Reddish. Like, this is our avenues of improvement until we get, you know, that top talent.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Prize Picks. We'll get to our Prize Picks selections in a little bit. If you guys are new in the chat, man, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out. Tough loss, man. Knicks lose 118 to 114 in Memphis despite a solid effort. Undermanned, man.
Yo, when they were up, CP, I was thinking, yo, are we really about to do this?
Yeah,
are we really about to make this run? Like, we smoking the Grizzlies.
40-point third. 40-point
You know what?
Third,
They've
man.
Been doing that to us all season for the most part, right? Like, we go on these big leads and they have us feeling a certain way and then it ends up, you know, another result. So it's going to be interesting, too, how World Wide West feels about those moments. Is it, you know, sometimes it can be fool's gold. Sometimes there's certain front office that say, well, look, you know, we're there. We're almost there. So let's see how they finish out the season. But for a moment there tonight, I thought it was going to be a much more enjoyable postgame show.
Yeah, me too, man. Definitely. But this is the Knicks at the end of the day. So, you know, let's go to B-More. Ron from B-More, what's going on?
CP, thank you for having me. Consoling me. I have two things I need to say.
Mm-hmm.
I got two things. First of all, I don't ever want to see Evan Fournier play for this team ever again. I don't want to see him play. I don't even enjoy it when he scores now. I'm sorry. He didn't deserve that foul call at the end of the half. That wasn't a foul. I know he made a three in transition. He airballed a floater. The other threes he took in the first half, all of them were crazy J.R. Smith shots when he's not J.R. Smith. And it led to fast breaks the other way. He gave the Grizzlies like 8 to 10 points.
Yeah, that's the thing against a team like this. It's a dangerous team. Your shots have to be – you got to take good shots, man. You can't gamble.
You look at his box score and you think, oh, Fournier, he played okay. He had a good third quarter, but give me a – and he had a bad turnover to end the third quarter. But I'm sorry. Right. Fournier killed us defensively. I don't want to see him play anymore. I know he's going to continue to play, but I can't – I don't enjoy it when he scores now. And last thing, I'll just say this. I'm not saying Deuce would have won the game. I'm not saying Deuce didn't struggle on a couple possessions and Ja trash talked him. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I have a serious problem giving him only 11 minutes. I told Sim, shout out to Sim, before tonight's game, I needed him to be a big part of the game plan, regardless if he failed or succeeded. I don't like 11 minutes for Deuce McBride when nobody can stop John
Morant. I mean,
what
are you doing in crunch time? You're only taking quickly out. You're not taking your guy. Are you taking your guy Burks out?
Yeah, I'm taking Burks out. I'm taking Burks out. I am. I'm sorry. He's not MJ anymore.
Hold on.
I know he's scoring a little.
Hang on. Stop the presses. Stop the presses.
Burks High versus Burks High.
Stop the presses. We have
a
problem on our hands.
CP, I'm on Deuce High. Deuce is the only one that can stay in front of people occasionally. And he actually can dribble a little bit. I think people are underrating. Deuce can do things. I'm not saying he's in struggle at times.
Yeah,
I believe in Deuce Hive more than Burks Hive. Burks Hive is over. It was a mirage. Burks Hive was last year with Rose off the ball. He's not MJ anymore. He was MJ last year. It's gone. It's like in the movie Rookie of the Year with Henry Rollin Gardner where he fell on the ball. That's what's happened now. He's back to normal. It's gone.
I knew he was MJ.
I never thought I'd see the day when Ron turned on the Burks Hive.
I love
this, man. This is a big moment of the show, man.
Hey, I'm frustrated right now. Tibbs right now is, I mean, look, we know we're missing some stuff. We need a point guard. We understand the team is limited. They don't have plays down the stretch other than the RJ play, which is predictable, which does have success at times. You can't just run the same play every time, run these guys into the ground. You got to be a little more creative because they know what's coming. But Burks, I'm sorry, Deuce, I wanted to be a big part of this. I believe in Deuce. He signed all my little rookie cards. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's going to go downhill, man. But let's go down
together,
keep
going, Spree. Keep talking. This might be your last phone call here. Keep going. Forget.
Hey, man, look. You know I'm loyal to Burks, but I got to call it like I see it. He is what he is. Off the ball, though, he was MJ last year. He was a closer. But when you ask him to play point guard, you're asking him to do much. It's like asking me to beat Roger Federer on the tennis court. It's not going to happen.
You know something, Ron?
CP's hurt.
We're gonna drop you off right here, man.
All right, man. You know I love it.
You're real. Have a good weekend, man. We're going to drop you off.
All right, peace.
That was his stop, bro. That was his stop, man. My guy Burks, in 35 minutes, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 18, 6 boards, 5 dimes, and a steal. He's doing the best he can. And in the fourth quarter, JD, he was trying to activate Mr. Fourth Quarter. He was just shy. Just had a couple. He was this close to catching fire. This close. When nobody had it. Julius had nothing. Yeah. 48 was garbage. So Tibbs said, Mr. Fourth Quarter, I need you right now. He was this close. Deuce wasn't going to get us there. He was this close, man.
I hate when he misses those corner threes. It's so timely. You know, he was 0 of 3 from 3 in the fourth. But I think, you know, this is what happens. He was 2 of 7 overall in the fourth, 0 of 3 from 3, scored 4 points. But he plays almost 11 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a role player, you know.
He damn near played the whole fourth.
Play a role player that way. And, you know, are you going to be surprised if he runs out of gas and he goes 0 of 3 from 3? Like, this is what I'm saying.
He damn near played the whole fourth.
I will say this about McBride. That moment that Ja took it to the paint on him,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw he let him know about it.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I guess they call that one of those rookie welcome to the NBA moments.
But no one helped him.
I think that was a good thing for him. That's a good thing. I'm happy that happened. Mm. I'm glad that happened. Ja Morant, thank you very much for talking all that trash in between the play, because a guy with the pedigree and the character that we think, you know, McBride is going to be, the toughness, the grit, and his potential on defense, you need those moments early, because that's what's going to motivate you. Those moments mm-hmm. are going to, you know, get you on the film. They're going to get you in the gym. And you're going to remember that for the next time you play, you know, these players, you know. And these are the moments that, you know, when McBride, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now as a veteran, he's going to go back to. I remember when I was a rookie and Josh, and then I thought about that moment. And I said to myself, you know what, I still have some work to do. So I'm actually happy that those moments happens to a player that's known to be, you know, hopefully a lockdown defender, and someone scores on him. So, because I know he's very prideful, and I know he's going to, you know, come back strong from that.
I mean, keep it real. I was looking for Burks to help him. I mean, it was good defense. He just had nobody.
And it was good defense, too. It was just, you know, Ja was, you know, just stronger.
Oh, man. This guy, Ron from Baltimore, man, completely blindsided you.
It just shifted your energy.
Completely, man. Completely blindsided me with that one, man. Turned his back on the Burks Hive like a chair shot. That was rough, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Shout out to D Barge. I think it's D Barge, team hashtag new. Welcome to the squad. Appreciate it. Make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up button. Hit that subscribe button. I think we're at 49.2. TM, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we're at 49,200. So the climb to 50K is on the way. Right now, we are at, I'll tell you specifically, 49,230. All right, so we are getting there. Shout out to J. Cal in the chat. J. Cal, what's going on? How you feeling? You just get back in the game. Shake it off. Yeah, I was stunned, man. I was a little bit shell-shocked. When, you know, Ron bailed and left me on the ship, man. It's a cold world. Absolutely cold world. On the injuries note, we talked about Cam, no Cam. What do you think about that? I mean, what do you think about that just in terms of, you know, decisions being made going forward, him not finishing the season, the durability concerns, and us, you know, left with no answers, really. What do you think?
Well, first is unfortunate for him because I just hate when this happens.
Yeah.
Right when he was about to, you know, he's turning it around. He's showing his potential. He's putting it together a little bit, you know, little by little. And you also kind of started to see maybe Tibbs buying into just giving him more minutes. And then he does it going, you know, for a defensive play.
Right.
You'd like to see that, but you just hate to see the result. Moving forward, CP, you know, it's tricky with Cam, man, because, again, you know, the guy needs minutes. That's just the type of player he is. It's hard to get into a rhythm with his type of skill set, you know, coming at the end of quarters, playing 16, 18 minutes. This is a guy that you either put on a bad team and let him play 30 minutes tonight, or if you're a team that's need to develop like the Knicks, you take a chance and say, listen, we're going to start you next year, and, you know, and you're going to be that three guy for us, and you're going to get the minutes. It's a contract year. So I don't want to miss an opportunity for a young player to potentially blossom. You know, we talk about the motor and all this stuff. Let's see how he responds to all of this in a contract year. He has a full offseason now to work. I like that he's with RJ. Let's see if they work out together. Maybe that'll help continue to build some chemistry. But I think his fate here might be on World Wide West. Some of these guys that are for the young guys, I think his fate here may be tied into who's the head coach next year. Just because I just think if Tibbs is back, you know, CP, he's going to be on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah.
I know he has, you know, a five-year contract, but I think only three is guaranteed. And I don't know that Tibbs is going to be all for playing that many young players in a year where his job is going to be on the line. I mean, just look at tonight. Look at these games. When things get tough, he goes back to what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see, man. I think it's still unknown. But the fact that he's going to be in a contract year and he's this young and he's 6'8", you got to give a guy like that a shot, CP. You have to. You have nothing to lose. We traded a pick for him.
I think this thing, again, becomes
another Obi thing.
yeah, I do. I think it's unfortunate, as you said, man. I feel bad for the kid because it seemed like he was just starting to come along strong, and with the Knicks, you know, depleted team right now, he looked like he was gonna get a nice little opportunity to show himself. So definitely unfortunate for him. Now, for the other side, from the business side, I think this rotation still gets complicated next year. Because even if you trade Burks, you still have a jam at the wing, right? Because I'm looking at a bench right now. This is even before you even try to upgrade and bring in a draft pick. You still got IQ, McBride, Grimes, Obi. That's four guys right there. Plus your backup big. You want to say Sims? I go Sims, but you're not even talking about your first round pick. Who could that be? Is that another wing? You know, are they definitely going to trade Fournier? We'll see.
The way they're looking right now, it might be another wing, because after that top four, you know, when you talk about Benedict Mathurin, AJ Griffin,
yeah.
Those are guys that are going to be 2-3 guards. Unless you go Johnny Davis, you might not be on the board. I don't know that we'll get the fifth pick. So,
yeah,
they might be forced to make a move this offseason.
Yeah. And, look, from the business side, it may not be beneficial for him, this injury, but for the Knicks, when you're looking at the prospect of paying a guy that full rookie max extension, I think it's safe to say he's not getting that. So if they do decide to keep him, I think there's a catch-22. It's like, again, how much are you going to pay him? And then are you actually going to play him? And can he stay durable during the length of that contract? There's so many question marks with this kid and how they move forward with him. I think it's going to be fascinating. We did see today the report that Tyler Hero is going to get that full rookie max. So you got to figure RJ's getting that. man, this is going to be fascinating, man. Absolutely fascinating to see how they handle this going forward. You know, not just Cam, the overall composition of the roster, but it's going to be very, very interesting.
Gut feeling. Sims, Obi, Cam, Quick, Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Five, McBride, sticks. Six players, young,
and
quote,
you haven't
unquote,
got any vets. You haven't even signed any vet minimums or anything at this point.
Six players. Gut feeling, are all six of those players back next year? Opening night.
No. I say no. I think you got to look to consolidate and you got to look to upgrade. At some, you know, if you're not going to draft a point, you have no wiggle room to sign anything. You have to trade. You got to trade.
Maybe Cam was an addition to allow themselves to, you know,
that's
move
right.
another young player.
And it could be him. Remember the trade deadline, they were talking to the Lakers about trading him. So it doesn't necessarily seem like he's a lock to even be here next year. He could be a trade piece in the offseason. Now the shoulder injury, again, now the shoulder injury really doesn't help.
CP, I think I don't want to say this, but I think it may come down to Cam or Obi.
I think so.
I think if I had to guess today from those six players, I think the decision in the front office has to be between one of those two.
No question.
Because you might next year, you might have to switch things up and go a little bit more small ball. So is that Cam? Is that Obi? And then when you talk about trades, got to give up someone. Mm-hmm. Is that Cam? Is that Obi? And I think they try to, and I think that's why you saw the leaked reports and the frustrations with not playing. Because I think that what whoever in the front office was thinking is, let's bring Cam in now. Let's play him. And that'll give us the whole half of the season to see, you know, between him or Obi or whoever, which way, like, which guys we definitely have to keep. And they figured at the very least, we'll have enough young guys that we can move and we'll have quote-unquote assets at our disposal. And I think because that plan did not look like it materialized, you started to see, and then we weren't winning on top of that,
mm-hmm.
you started to see some frustrations. And now I think the front office has a tougher decision to make because now Cam is out.
Big time. I would rather move Obi if I had to choose between the two because I just feel like Cam has more potential. But then again, when you're talking about rookie contracts and still having time with Obi versus the prospects of potentially losing Cam for nothing again at the end of next season, or do you try to trade him and get something that'll help you more long term?
Here's the thing, crazy, though. It's kind of like a Mitch thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a Mitch thing with Cam because if Cam gets a fair opportunity and he's playing well, you know what everyone's going to say? There's no way you can trade him, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a 23-year-old now, 6'8 forward, wing player that's playing very well in a contract year. How do you say to yourself, let's trade this guy?
This is why
Leon's
getting paid the big
bucks, by the trade deadline. Unless next year by the trade deadline, Donovan Mitchell demands a trade, and then that's a whole.
Or the whole Zion thing, right? Who knows, man? Who knows? You know, I'm not a fan of the whole Zion pursuit or rumors, but just never know, man.
And if you're the Knicks and Zion demands a trade, and he has you on the team,
and he's another guy that needs to get paid. They're all on the same They're all on this shit.
It's tough, man, because I immediately go, no, I don't want that injury risk here. But then you look at this franchise and you look at, you know, do you just say you kind of have to take the risk and do it? Because it's like, you know, if you have a guy that comes out next year, whether it's Mitchell, because we heard the Bradley Beal rumors, but we never obviously saw the report that Beal himself. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a guy that goes James Harden, like, I want to go to this team. If you're the Knicks, we've been talking about how long now? Nobody wants to come here. Nobody wants to play here. If you have a guy that goes out there and says, I want to play there, do you reject that opportunity?
Yo, if it's Zion, I'm not with that right now, man. I'm telling you, man. I'm like 30%, if that, right now.
First 20 games straight.
I don't trust
32
it.
32 minutes per game.
I don't trust it.
20 games.
I don't trust. He could finish the whole entire year finishing with a double-double every single game. I don't trust it. He'll come here, tear his Achilles, gain like 500 pounds, and turn into Oliver Miller on like a $300 million contract. I'm not doing it, man. It'll be same old Knicks. It'll be the same on this move. I'm not sure.
He'll come, you have a triple-double. We'll be hyping the post-game, and then the next game is Antonio McBride.
Yeah, you won't see him again. Bro, I don't trust it, man. I do not trust the Zion pursuit for the Knicks, bro. I'll tell you that right now. Don't trust it. Because, that, I mean, the red flags with him were before he even got drafted. The weight and how it's going to impact his legs. And you see all of that now.
Would you rather have? I don't even want to ask you this. Would you rather have Julius for the next 4 or 5 years, or Zion for the next 4 or 5 years?
Or the unknown of Zion for the next 4 or 5 years? Oh man, Julius could be watching right now. Press is on. I don't know what this whole Zion, I don't know what the injury's about. It's just such a huge gamble, man. It's such a huge gamble, bro. You know what I'm saying? Even when he was healthy, like, it was hard to really tell, like, what is his true impact with this team, and how much better is he making the Pelicans, even when he's healthy.
No, he still has a lot to prove.
So much to prove. Yeah, but interesting debate for sure, man. Interesting debate for sure. What do you guys think in the chat? Would you rock with Julius for the remainder of his contract, or take a gamble on Zion? Packaging Julius, a number of picks, maybe 4 draft picks, a couple more young players.
I feel like if they do, RJ may have something to do with that too, because the connection as well.
Oh yeah, no question. No question.
That's the thing when you involve players. You know, you see LeBron this year. He's catching a lot of flack with the Westbrook connection where, you know, I was surprised a player as smart as LeBron wanting to have, you know, a Melo and all these guys next to him. And from a just – I didn't see the fit. This is what happens when players are involved in decision-making. A lot of times they disregard certain things, and they say to themselves, hey, I talk to this guy every day. He's a friend. We text every day. We're cool. We'll figure it out. I know it looks a little funny, but we'll figure it out. And so if RJ is involved, I think RJ, just because of the friendship, he's not going to say no.
No way.
He's going to say, go get him.
No way. I mean, look, as people in chat say, look, with all his faults, Julius is a durable player, man. That you can guarantee right now between the two guys. That's proven. He's a durable player. we'll see, man. We'll have to see what happens. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Oh, shout out to JCal, $100 super chat. He says, let's go 50K. What do we think about this insane video today about trading RJ for first-round picks with Zion? Whack. Yeah, that's just, you know, ESPN being ESPN. But I thought it was kind of odd because, you know, they had guys like Brian Windhorst and stuff on that video. So, you know, they were speculating that a deal would have to start with RJ. But there's no chance the Knicks would do that. There's no chance. If they're bringing Zion here, it's to pair with RJ and probably to pair with Cam so they could sell it as, you know, we got Duke's big three here to grow our own big three, you know. So if they do get Zion, they're putting Julius in that deal. They're not putting RJ in that deal. There's no way.
And then and four firsts,
which is crazy.
I know it looks crazy because people say, man, you crazy, JD. It's Zion. Four firsts. It's four first round.
Oh, I don't even know who Zion is right now other than the name. I don't know who he is, bro.
Have y'all seen that chart of how many picks the Nets gave up for James Harden? I don't know
and
when
Levert
is the next time
Jared
they have a
Allen.
First round pick.
You know?
And Jared Allen, bro. Look at that stint. And then they get Ben Simmons, and then Ben Simmons arrives as a great press conference.
Yeah.
And the next you know, now he has back issues.
Yeah.
He can't play.
And he's straight shook. Back issues and scared. I mean, Zion played 24 games his rookie year. Started and played 24 games his rookie year.
Here's what I say, though, CP. They might go Zion because I don't know how we get Donovan Mitchell without giving up RJ.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
So,
that's a fact.
You know, I know he has all these New York tweets, and he's a big-time Mets fan. And obviously we see the reports of him kind of waning on, you know, they're not winning. I don't think they're going anywhere this year in the West, at least in the playoffs. But how does Utah trade that guy without getting RJ?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, I can see Zion getting traded without RJ because we have a bunch of picks. We can have some other young players. You can add Julius or whoever in that. Like, you can find a package and you can justify it just because of his injury risk.
Mm-hmm.
The injury risk is the path to get a deal done. If you're the Knicks.
True story.
But if you're going to go after Donovan Mitchell, I just don't know how you do it. It's kind of like the Dame thing. Like, I didn't know how we would do a Dame deal without giving up RJ.
Yeah, I don't see it. Unless you go get Zion first and you test it out and, you know, if you feel like RJ's the weak link, I mean, hey, we're trying to win a championship. All options are on the table. You know what I'm saying? So
as long as Burks is part of that championship team, right?
That's right. Burks comes back, the journeyman. Oh, man, we can only dream. Just me, though, not Ron from Baltimore. He sold out tonight. Let's go back to the phones, man. Niner from Virginia, Knickerbocker Niner, to be exact. Oh, you gotta turn down your volume. You sound like eating chips. So what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Hello? Oh, my man's not even
playing attention.
It's Friday night. My man's all over the place. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yo. Yeah.
Hey, CT? Is CT?
Yes. Hello. Welcome to Knicks Post Game Live. How you doing, man? Good, man. We were just waiting for you to get it together.
I'm sorry, man. My mom came in. I apologize, bro.
Okay. First of all,
man, I want to say I'm a big fan of you, man. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thanks a lot.
I just became a member to be able to come up here and chat with you guys, man. So I appreciate what you do. And I'm honored to be on your show, man.
Man, thanks for that. Yeah, man, happy to have you, man. Where in VA you checking in from?
Portsmouth, Virginia, man. Born and raised. Yeah, man. P-Town.
Yeah, man.
Represent.
Been out there a couple times.
been a diehard Knicks fan since '91. Over mm-hmm. 30 years now, man. So I've been through it like you guys. I'm 45 years old, so I've been through it mm-hmm. for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But my little input is, you know, I love my team, and I just hope that this is just my little input on it. I hope that we can get that point guard that we need, man. I'm so stressed, man. I just want a point guard
yeah.
so bad, man. That's all we need. The young talent we got, you know, I think we got a lot of good players. I believe in Cam Reddish. You guys are probably not going to agree with what I'm about to say,
mm-hmm.
but I think we can go without, we can trade instead of trading, like, you know, a lot of our young talent. I would be willing to trade Julius Randle if Cam Reddish can show that he can carry the torch, you know, because he mm-hmm. really haven't had a chance to really prove what he can do. And I think a lot of that had to do with coaching. I'm not trying to be hard on Thibodeau, but he has an old school style of how he you know, run his, you know, his teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, from what I see so far, he's not a developmental coach that can take young guys and make them better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that we can find that answer at the point guard position, man. That's what I want. You know, I just want a point guard, bro. I think Cam Reddish. I think sign Mitch, let Julius go, get Cam Reddish on at the small forward, put the Mitch in the center. I think Jericho's film is going to be special. He reminds me of a younger version, a mixed version of Ben Wallace. He's physical. He's real athletic. He jumps all over the place grabbing the ball. I like what I'm seeing from that kid. Don't ask him to shoot the ball, just like Ben Wallace. You know, they're not scorers. You know, he's got that Ben Wallace-type Dennis Rodman. Like, if they had a baby, it would be Jericho Sims, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? It'd be that guy. So
yeah.
I like the depth we got at the center position, but I don't want to lose Mitch. I'd rather let Randall go. Hey, Mitch, we need that defensive anchor. We need that guy that's going to be the heart of the defense, and he's that guy. He's our quarterback on defense. Randall, you know, he turns the ball over a lot. When you pick him and take the ball from him, he stops and throws his hands up. He doesn't go back to the other end of the court and make a play. You know, he gets frustrated with himself sometimes. He tucks himself out of a game. Lately, he's playing good. But I'm going to tell you, if you guys look back, when we first got him, he didn't look good. But the minute we drafted Obi Toppin, he started playing up to his potential because he felt the pressure. He knew we drafted somebody to replace him if he didn't show up. So I think he'll be better on another team where he has a point guard. That way he don't have to carry the ball down the court. He's
right.
Trying to be AI. He's trying to cross people up. He's not that kind of guy. You know what I mean? So I don't think he fits with the youth. I was telling Edgar before I came on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I want to trust the process and do what, you know, teams like OKC did before, like what the Sixers did, like what Golden State did, you know. Let's just build our young guys, take some years. But then we have a strong core. These guys are used to playing together. We're not swapping these guys, trading these guys. Let's just build the youth. We got young talent. We just got to develop them and just get a point guard, somebody that quarterbacks the team. That's all we need, bro.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the call, man. I like your optimism.
No problem, man.
You know,
no problem, man. God bless you guys, man. I look forward to coming on your show again.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right,
call
man.
Me anytime. All right. My man was very optimistic about the youth movement. We'll see what happens, man. 15 games left. And
wants to play Cam at the four next year.
Wants to play Cam at the four. Very interesting. I don't think he had the coach for that. But, you know, I think in a pinch, when you're going up against a team like this, you know, tonight, you needed Cam out there. I like Brandon Clark a lot, man. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
We were losing him left and right in this game, man. Killing us. You know, the extra effort. And again, that's what makes the Grizzlies so good, man. They have one of the worst half-court offenses in the league, but they are top in the league in terms of points per possession in the half court, and that's because they're number one in offensive rebounds. So they keep so many possessions alive that they're still able to get you, man. And Brandon Clark, he gives you so much versatility. One minute he's guarding RJ, stopping him. One minute he's guarding Julius. You know, very versatile player, man. Very versatile player. So I thought our lack of front court versatility also hurt us tonight. You know, you had Jaren Jackson. I can't stand how that kid shoots, but he's good. Can't stand his shot, bro. I can't stand that kid's shot, bro.
Like, when he shoots, you're like, that's not going in. And it goes
like,
in.
And then I get pissed. I'm like, nah, man, what is this?
And then
man?
It goes in or net. It doesn't even hit the rim. And I'm like, how? And then you see on TV, you got a hand right in, like right there to contest, and he still makes it.
I cannot stand that kid's shot whatsoever. But
by the way, Cam in three games against the Grizzlies, three steals, one steal, one steal. Last game, he had 14 points in 28 minutes.
It's a good matchup for him.
So,
you know, that's I think that's what we need. That's what we needed.
And you started to see him take that challenge defensively, you know, in terms of, you know, being able to guard. He had a good game against Phoenix. That's why a lot of people were upset. He came off the game and Cam goes off again. So he started – I think – I'll give Tibbs a little bit of credit here. I think at least from that end, he started to show some progress. And I think obviously Tibbs being, you know, a tough coach on the young guys, I think he was starting to get through to Cam in that respect.
Yeah, no question. King Matthews in the chat said Jaren got a catapult jumper. Yeah, that's what it looked like, man. Like a slingshot or something, man. It looks crazy. Looks absolutely crazy.
Well, we're going to see how you shoot free throws on the 30th.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. I'm about to start practicing. Today was a good day. I should have got out there. I got to find a pump for the rock. I got the rock in the garage, so I'm going to go take it to the park, man, and start.
CP's about to put 2 hours a day. He's like,
that's it.
I can't look funny on the 30th.
Nah. Now I'm 1 for 2.
100 free throws a day.
Yeah, I'm 1 for 2, so I got to get ready. Definitely got to start getting ready. For those of you that do want to come with us to the Knicks versus Hornets game, which is on March 30th, I think we're down to about 2 or 3 tickets left. So if you guys want to come through, as JD said, man, it comes with tickets to the pregame shoot-around, which is always a good time. We'll live stream from there. Then we'll watch the game. We're in section 113, so we're in the lower bowl rather than the Chase Bridge. Chase Bridge is also great. But we're in the 100 section, and then post-game free throws on Madison Square Garden. You can't beat it. If you've never done it before, you definitely want to come through for it, man. It's a very fun experience. And for those of you that enjoy the nostalgia of Madison Square Garden and you know, just being on the court with the Knicks play, man, it's a really dope experience. So make sure you guys check that out. Also, if you missed the announcement yesterday or Thursday, rather, it's 12 o'clock midnight, so I'm getting my days confused. We're giving away a D. Rose jersey. So go to KnicksFanTV.com, wait for this pop-up to the landing page to pop up on the screen, and just sign in with your information. We're giving away a brand-new Derrick Rose jersey, brand-new with the tags, a City Edition jersey. I kind of like these. These are the black with the orange stripes, or the orange trim, rather. Real nice look, size extra large. Just wanted to make sure, you know, we can get it as the size as flexible as possible. This is one that we first released, man. We were able to get these and these were the first ones to sell out when they sold these City jerseys. So make sure you guys sign up. Go to KnicksFanTV.com to sign up for that. And JD, let's talk about our Prize Picks, man. You guys know this show is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. They have the best over and under game out there on the market. And, you know, well, how we play Prize Picks, first off, you go to prizepicks.com, enter promo code KFTV. That's how you support us. That's how we get our credit. And they will match your deposit of up to $100. So it's a great deal there. And then from there, you're just going to select 2 to 5 players, and you're going to predict whether or not they're going to go over or under this number that Prize Picks has set out for that player on any given night. All right, so that's how you're going to play Prize Picks. And how did I do tonight? Well, here's the picks I went with. I went with DeJounte Murray. I played the points, rebounds, and assists stat tonight. Heavy, JD. I went all in on points, rebounds, and assists tonight. I was feeling it tonight. So I went with my actual sheet here. I went with DeJounte Murray over 38.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Spurs hosting the Jazz at home. He finished with 40. So he got me that there tonight. I went with DeAndre Ayton, or Ayton, as my guy Val says. I went with DeAndre Ayton over 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He finished just shy. Finished with 25. So I didn't hit that one. But I bounced back with campaign, filling in for CP3. Suns at home hosting the Raptors. I went over 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists, and he finished with 35. Great game by campaign tonight. I'm going with Kyle Kuzma returning home to the Lakers. I'm going under 34.5 points tonight. I thought that was a lot for Kuzma against the Lakers. I went under 34.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Right now he has 18. Not sure what quarter that game is in, but right now I'm looking, sitting pretty well there. And then I went Keldon Johnson over 16.5 points, Spurs hosting the Jazz. And I just missed that one, man. He finished with 13 points. So I'm looking like I should be able to hit 3 out of 5 tonight. Again, I played a 5. You don't have to play all 5 picks. You can play as little as 2. I choose to go for the gusto and go for the big jackpot because you can win up to 10 times your money on that one. But only hit 3 out of 5 tonight. How'd you do tonight, bro?
Well, wasn't a good night today. I'm in as much pain as you are with Spree's phone call.
Oh.
It was not. I played four guys, four pick entry, mm-hmm. and I missed on three of them. However, I will say I was correct on the analysis. It's just so short.
For example,
I went over 23.5 points on R.J. Barrett tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He scores 23. He's right at the mark. And then, you know, you see the night he has. He's 9 of 25. So he had the shot. You know, just one more bucket.
What they set the free throws at? Because I wasn't able to make picks until like 8:30 tonight. So I'm completely missing.
I wanted to take the free throws. I didn't. But he went right at it. It was 4.
Oh,
he was 4-7.
Okay.
So you don't get it.
No,
it was 4 flat.
Yeah, I think you still get something. You still get something there. Okay. Yeah.
If you hit over, he has to hit 5.
No,
if he has to tie it,
you still get something.
Okay.
You still get something.
Then I went, so I missed on that. That's one. Then I went Darius Garland. I picked him under 22.5 points going against the Miami Heat defense.
Mm.
Again, he goes 1 of 6 from 3, 4 of 17 on the field, but he shoots 16 free throws.
Mm.
And he hits 24. 22.5 was the line. I went under. He goes right over the line, so I missed on that. Then I go Desmond Bane over 2.5 threes. Desmond Bane, in the last three games against the Knicks, is shooting 50% from three. He's hit 4 threes on 11 attempts, 4 threes on 7 attempts. In the last matchup, he only took 4 attempts, but he hit 3 threes. So I thought that
Bane's
was a lot.
Been a tough one. He's been a tough one to really select on prize picks for me, man. I don't think I've hit on Bane on the times I've selected him. He's been a tough one.
Yeah, and then tonight, he takes the shots. You know, he goes, what did he go? 6 threes, and he only hits 2.
Mm.
And the one that I did hit was Ja. I took him over 30.5 points. He scored 37. I just thought, you know, with the whole RJ matchup, he's playing well. I thought he was going to score over 30. So.
Yeah.
Made
him work.
104.
104, 3-5. My guy JJ in the chat says he's been killing. So shout out to JJ from Brooklyn. Says he's been putting in work on the prize picks.
Here's the key, though, CP.
Yeah.
I went 1 out of 4. I didn't win any money, but because I played responsibly, risk management, I could sleep well tonight.
That's it.
I didn't lose.
Always play responsibly, but for you guys at home, man, play to win, man. PrizePicks.com, promo code KFTV. And again, they're going to match your deposit, so it's a really good deal. You could put up to $100. You don't have to put $100, but you can put up to $100, and they will match that deposit one for one. So that is a good deal. Okay. So Knicks lose 118-114. Tough loss. They will come back home for a matinee kickoff again, tip off against the New Jersey Nets. We'll see if Simmons plays. KD will be ready to go. They just washed up the Sixers. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Tough matchup for the Knicks coming back home from the West Coast trip. It was snowing in Memphis, so let's hope that the Knicks can get back home on a timely fashion. Let's hope they can get back tonight at least, because it was snowing in Memphis, and I think we're supposed to get some wintry weather up here in New York as well. So let's see what happens there. Edgar, what's going on, Edgar? How you feeling?
What's up, guys?
What's up,
man? Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead. You're the closer tonight, man. What'd you think about the game?
Oh, those are big shoes to fill. What's up, JG? What's up, CP?
How you feeling?
Tough loss. You know, I was hoping we could push the streak to 4 games. That obviously didn't happen. But at the end of the day, I'm not that disappointed, just because we played with effort. We showed heart. You know, we had a good lead there. We couldn't really close out that third quarter with the momentum we had. We kind of just squandered it a bit. You could see the momentum started shifting. John Morant started talking more trash, you know, going into the fourth. Jaren Jackson was a beast. And that's pretty much all she wrote. But like I said, I'm just happy we fought. We made it a game. We didn't get blown out. We stood toe-to-toe against one of the best teams in the NBA. And like I said, I was kind of hoping the tank would be put on hold a little bit, but that didn't happen. So, you know, the tank commanders are happy. They're celebrating tonight. You know, what's his name? TM, Ari from Manhattan, and Jay from Florida. I heard they were streaking on 7th Ave, you know, celebrating the tank is back. You know, they're celebrating the championship. The tank is on. They're happy. But
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I hope we come out with the same intensity against the Nets. We're due a win. We're due a win against the Nets. I actually don't remember when was the last time we beat them, but we're due a win. Like, at least get this one for pride. You know, I'm tired of losing to the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We appreciate it, bro. We'll chop it up on Sunday, man. Good call, bro.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. That's Edgar closing out. Great show, Edgar. Great show, TM. Great show, all the mods. Great show.
Last time we beat them was in 2020.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I couldn't tell you because I have no clue, man. It's been that long. So we'll see, man. It's hard, you know, that first game back on the road to get back into the swing of things. Kind of tough. So we'll see what type of time they're on. But great show, you know, great show nevertheless. Tough loss. Good effort. Great show. Let's salute the super chats that came in. Let's shout out to Dar288. He says, Caleb Gay. Get okay. Oh, I think that's Dan from New Jersey. There's no more silly business. The tank is back on. That's definitely Dan from New Jersey. Shout out to Rhyme Animal Chuck D. He says, don't forget who Dolan is. He will wipe out Tibbs, Rose, and West before Randall. All the vets will be wiped out, and he'll take his chances on somebody new if this team looks like this. On Christmas of 2022, look at the Rangers. Shout out Brandon Guest. He says Zion is pushing P as in pounds. Shout out to, you know, this cat, he uses like symbols in his name, so I don't really know the name, but shout out to him. He's donated before. He says CP Zion can be a double quarter pounder with cheese. Brandon Guest says Cam is going to crack the steady rotation next year. He's going to be in the lab with RJ and Zion all summer. Cam has a skill and political advantage, low-key. Mr. Knicks 101, he says, some Knicks fans overrate the hell out of McBride and Sims. Shout out the guys, Symbols guys, kind of like Prince. He says, CP, do your man Burke's good and sell him high. He also says, woulda, coulda, shoulda isn't good enough for Mr. Fourth Quarter High. Shout out to Kenny Gales. He says, I'm out. Didn't catch the end of the game, but here for the support replay gang tomorrow. Shout out to the replay gang. Leave us a hashtag replay gang if you're watching after the live show. Victor Barahona says, for me, it's a must lose. JD, bring the tank out. Barry G says, momentum is imperative in basketball. Gave up 6 points in 30 seconds to close the third. Turnovers and key possessions hurt us. Love RJ. Was hooping, his three was on. They played hard. Shout out to the Rhyme Animal Chuck D once again. Okay, I got that one. It says give Mitch Noel's money. Dwayne Hubbard, I got that one. Paul Robinson says the problem is they lose when they are trying to win, aka vets, and they win when they are playing for development, aka kids. That's ineptitude and insanity. Shout out Kevin Joseph says Tibbs hasn't done an experiment all season, but now of all games he decided to experiment with Julius coming in with the young dudes instead of RJ. I think I got that one. S. Poe says RJ's the best decision maker currently on the Knicks, but the entire fourth he stood in the corner. Great job, Tibbs. RJ Julius, Burks. Gotta figure it out. NY Sports Guy says this is a game where Noel off the bench would have been beneficial. Deuce and Sims look like deer in the headlights. Yep. Young guys looking like young guys, man. JD, great show, bro. We'll catch up, man. Great show, everybody. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Hit that subscribe button as we climb up to 50K. We're on the way. Great show, man. Knicks lose 118-114. See you guys Sunday. Peace. I ain't. Good show, bro.
Recording stopped.
Oh, man. You said you're out Sunday, right?
Likely.
Okay.
I'll let you know tomorrow for sure.
All right, yeah, hit me up, man. I'm about to crash.
What you doing this weekend? Nothing crazy?
Nah, nothing crazy, really, man. I wanted to go to the ACC tournament. My homegirl, she works for whoever's covering it. I think Fox Sports or ESPN. So she's at Barclays, but I'm not sure yet. Kind of game time decision.
Yep. Hello?
Yep.
Phones Sunday, or you don't know yet?
Yeah. Definitely phones. I'm not going to the game, so I'll be here.
Ah, okay. Got it. Okay. I thought you were going to go.
Nah, I ain't going to go. I don't think they're going to win. I think they might get washed.
Kyrie still can't play, right?
Well, you know, KD likes to bury the Knicks any chance he gets.
CP, you want to catch
true. Him? I do remember last time KD played, Randall kind of got up for that matchup, though.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
he'll get up for this one.
That's true. What were you saying, JD?
So you going to catch his Laker game?
When is it right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron
got 36 through three quarters, and they only up five. And Shannon Sharp is tweeting, how many layups is Westbrook gonna miss tonight?
Oh.
2 of 10. So I don't know how many of those were layups if Shannon is tweeting like that.
And LeBron's number tonight was like 49, like points, rebounds, and assists, like some craziness.
So he's already at 47.
Wow, that was on the money.
He has 5 assists, 6 rebounds.
On the money. Yeah, I just put it on right now. I'm about to check it out.
Yo, I don't know if you guys saw, but somebody tweeted this out yesterday. Apparently, they got Mitchell Robinson's uncle saying something about him wanting Mitch to leave the Knicks or something like that. What do you think about that?
I didn't hear it.
Somebody told him. Supposedly, he tweeted out. He was like, "Yeah, you know, the Knicks, they don't know how to pass the ball to their big men. Like, their big men rarely get the ball. I can't wait for Mitch to low-key, like, get out of there already," or something like that, apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be one of the six people that he's fired is going to end up getting fired, too.
Yeah,
if he follows that advice.
Right.
Because all I'll say is this, CP, you and I, that's why I haven't said it on the show. But you and I, we were there at that shoot-around, and we saw what he was working on, and we saw the results.
He was in the construction business, bro.
I mean, you saw...
I heard his trainer.
You know, he could have been Tristan Thompson.
His trainer's not very good.
Yeah. People,
I don't know if you've seen the Tristan Thompson video that's gone viral.
Yeah, the three footers that he was bricking?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then you see Tristan Thompson in the game, you see why he doesn't attempt those.
Yeah.
He'll do it every now and then, but you see why he's the type of player he is. So it's like, I know, like, you know, obviously, you know, I know sometimes these players, they know certain people don't have access to certain things and they have that belief, but it's like, bro.
Well, it's because people, again, they look at the, remember when people were like getting gas over all his workout videos, like, oh, he needs to be doing that in a game. Like, gosh. Completely different animal, man.
I mean, yeah, he's doing that in open runs and shit like that. I mean, it doesn't mean much.
Mm-mm.
I look at it like this. I've always said this to people that think that the Knicks are holding him back. Go look at Nerlens Noel shoot those mid-range. Nerlens Noel doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Nerlens Noel shoots
it. I honestly trust him more than Mitch to knock those down.
Right.
He
takes those shots.
Right.
And there's no system that I want Noel taking those shots.
Right.
Like, that's not a part of my system.
Yeah.
But he takes it.
Mitchell
looks
to do another handoff or just pass it out.
Right. So And I mean, like I said, you look at what we saw in shoot around, plus you look at his free throw, you put it all together. He has a lot of work to do. But I know it's a contract year, so it's tactics too. You want a team to buy into that. Like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe there's some untapped potential here. Boom. Here goes 3-4 more million per year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's business, but you know, I don't see it. That's just me. DeAndre Jordan.
All right, fellas. I'm gonna
all right, man.
Fourth quarter, man. You guys enjoy the weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Later.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation, CPF franchise here. Another tough loss, man. Knicks lose 118-114 to Memphis, going 3-3 on this West Coast road trip, if you want to call it that. You know, Knicks had a 15-point lead late in the second half, but all things fell apart in the fourth quarter, man. Six turnovers in the fourth quarter. And if you're not going to take care of the ball against this Memphis Grizzlies team, you're playing right into their hands. This is a team that eats off of turnovers and transition buckets. And they also have John Morant, you know, and that was basically the formula for the Memphis Grizzlies to take the game and take the lead. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation, CP the franchise here. 118-104. Knicks lose a tough one in Memphis. Once again, a double-digit lead late in the game, and the Knicks would collapse in crunch time, man. Just not enough firepower. And six turnovers, costly turnovers, untimely turnovers in the fourth quarter. That's just not going to get it done. If you're going to turn the ball over against this Memphis Grizzly team, you're playing right into their hands. And Memphis was able to do that, get out and run, which is what they love to do. Number one team in fast-paced points. And then, by the way, they got John Morant, an MVP candidate. So, you know, all of that is recipe for disaster for the Knicks. But, you know, great game by Julius, man. 36 points, 12 boards, 6 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks for Julius. Thought he played well. Didn't play so well in the fourth quarter. Came up with a goose egg when it mattered the most. Great game by blocking that monster, Mitchell Robinson, man. Dominant game by Mitch again. 10 points, 16 boards, 3 steals, 4 blocks. So just couldn't get it done.
In Memphis once again, a double-digit lead late in the game, and the Knicks would collapse in crunch time, man. Just not enough firepower, and 6 turnovers, costly turnovers, untimely turnovers in the fourth quarter. That's just not going to get it done. If you're going to turn the ball over against the Memphis Grizzlies team, you're playing right into their hands, and Memphis was able to do that, get out and run, which is what they love to do. Number one team, fast, big points, and then, by the way, they got John Morant, an MVP candidate, so... you know, all of that is recipe for disaster for the Knicks. But, you know, great game by Julius, man. 36 points, 12 boards, 6 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks for Julius. Thought he played well. Didn't play so well in the fourth quarter. Came up with a goose egg when it mattered the most. Great game by Blockman's Monster, Mitch Robinson, man. Dominant game by Michigan. 10 points, 16 boards, 3 steals, 4 blocks. So just couldn't get it done. All right, here we go. Salute to Nation, CP the Fan, Jack.